The radio broadcast portion of the worship service from the United Church of Christ in Neillsville is given by Dolores Johnson in honor of all mothers.
I was only going to tell you the story from Acts 9, the first 10 verses, because I'm not preaching on that section, but I might as well read it today. I've got the time, so let's hear this story from Acts 9. And remember, this is about Saul, and this is about Saul when he is getting going off to Damascus. So hear these words, and I'll let you know when I'm on it. I'll get to verse 10, I promise. Meanwhile, Saul was still spewing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest seeking letters to the synagogues in Damascus. If he found persons who belonged to the way, and the way was the name for the early Christians, by the way. They were called people on the way. So if he found people who belonged to the way, whether men or women, these letters would authorize him to take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. During the journey, as he approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven encircled him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice asking him, "Saul, Saul, why are you harassing me?" Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are harassing," came the reply. "Now get up and enter the city. You will be told what you must do." Those traveling with him stood there speechless. They heard the voice but saw no one. After they picked Saul up from the ground, he opened his eyes, but he couldn't see. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and neither ate nor drank anything. Now I'm on the screen. In Damascus there was a certain disciple named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision. "Ananias," he answered, "Yes, Lord." The Lord instructed him, "Go to Judas's house on Straight Street." Now, this is not the same Judas, by the way, that we know as the betrayer. Judas was not an uncommon name. So go to Judas's house on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias enter and put his hands on him to restore his sight. Ananias countered, "Lord, I have heard many reports about this man. People say he has done horrible things to your holy people in Jerusalem. He's here with authority from the chief priest to arrest anyone who calls on your name." The Lord replied, "Go. This man is the agent whom I have chosen to carry my name before the Gentiles, kings and Israelites. I will show him much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Ananias went to the house. He placed his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord sent me, Jesus, who appeared to you on the way as you were coming here. He sent me so that you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, flakes fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up, was baptized. After eating, he regained his strength. He stayed with the disciples in Damascus for several days. Right away, he began to preach about Jesus in the synagogue. "He is God's son," he declared. Everyone who heard him was baffled. They questioned each other, "Isn't he the one who was wreaking havoc among those in Jerusalem who called on his name? Hadn't he come here to take those same people as prisoners to the chief priests?" But Saul grew stronger and stronger. He confused the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. From the Gospel of John. And this comes from John 14. And we often know this text as at least parts of it from our funerals. It's often read there. I'm reading a little bit more of that a little farther down in the chapter. This is the one, you know, don't be afraid, in my father's house are many mansions. You remember that text. But now we're going to go down to verse 23. Oh, I'm going to say that together. Let's do that together. Keep alert. Stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong, Let all that you do be done in love. That's what happens when I don't have the bulletin in front of me. Let us start at verse 23, chapter 14. Jesus answered, "Whoever loves me will keep my word. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever doesn't love me doesn't keep my words. The word that you speak isn't mine. It is the word of the Father who sent me. I've spoken these things to you while I am with you. The companion, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I give to you not as the world gives. Don't be troubled or afraid. You've heard me tell you I'm going away and returning to you. If you love me, you would be happy that I'm going to my Father, because my Father is greater than me. I have said this, told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe." This is the word of the Lord. May God add God's blessing to it. Will you pray with me? Pray that the words that I speak are faithful to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that that which you hear is that which the Spirit intends for your ears this day. Let us pray. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I spent 4 days in Minneapolis listening to some major preachers. Among them was James Forbes. Yeah, some of you may remember that name. He was a minister at Riverside Church in New York City for a number of years. And I think he kind of summarizes, and I didn't think about this until I was looking at the text again. This text summarizes what his summary was. And it was ho, low, go. Ho, the Lord's getting your attention. Lo, I am with you. Go, where I send you. I think I've done the whole sermon now, but I'll preach it anyway. I would rather not. I would rather not have responded to the draft notice that arrived in the mail. I had other plans. And they didn't include training and going overseas where I might be killed, see my buddies killed. And they didn't include my having to kill an enemy. No, Lord, I would rather not. I would rather not answer the phone call, which I know is a collection agency. I don't have the money. The medical bills piled up. Everything is costing so much more. I can't afford the necessities. No, I would rather not answer the phone. I would rather not go to work or school today. I'm afraid. I feel alone. I'm bored. I'm tired. I don't like my teachers, my classmates, my coworkers. I would rather not, Lord, go. I would rather not, Lord, go to the doctor. I don't want to face what she might say. I would rather not, Lord, try to make peace with my mother. I would rather not, Lord, talk to the one who hurt my friend. I would rather not be kind to the one who is hate-filled. I would rather not speak to the Democrat or the Republican or to the one whose views on abortion or homosexuality are different than my own. I don't like arguing. I don't like how families are divided. The anger I see, the anger I feel is scary. I don't like how the schools, the parents, and the kids are not working together to resolve the challenges before them. I fear the stranger and the one who seems strange. And so, Lord, the one to whom you send me, the places you want me to go, well, I would just rather not do what you are calling me to do. Of course, that's not just personal, okay? Some of those are not mine, but they might be some that might fit for you. Now, Jonah, do you remember him? He was swallowed by a whale. Do you remember why he was swallowed by a whale? Well, there was a storm on the seas, and Jonah was sure that he was the cause of the wind and the waves. And so when his shipmates said, "What gives?" he said, "Well, it's me, throw me overboard." And Jonah was swallowed by a whale. God had called him to Nineveh. God wanted Jonah to help the people of Nineveh change their ways. "Lord, I would rather not," he thought to himself. And Jonah went the other direction. However, in the belly of that fish, Jonah had a change of heart and mind. He went to Nineveh, and sure enough, the people listened to his warning, changing their ways. Jonah, seeing God's grace for the people, went off to sulk. Yes, sometimes when we go where we would rather not, God intervenes, using us, changing us, changing others, even changing the places to where we are sent. The Lord came to Ananias. God wanted Ananias to go to Saul. Ananias knew Saul's reputation. Remember Saul? He was the one that stood by as Stephen was stoned. The first person to be stoned, as far as I remember in the Bible, for following Jesus. And Paul stood by and watched. Paul, Saul. Saul was later renamed as Paul. So if you're going like, who are you talking about? It's Paul. Saul first. Change of names. Ananias knew that Saul had secured orders that allowed him to arrest Christians, bring them back to Jerusalem. Ananias was a Christian. "No, Lord," Ananias would rather not go to Saul. Yet with courage and a firm faith in God, he went. Of course, Ananias remained alert. Of course, he was aware of the danger. Nevertheless, Ananias responded to God's call. We are living in a time when our nation is not of one mind. The world is as divided as I have seen it in a number of years. Alliances are changing. Friends and family among us are divided. So many subjects are off the table, even at the dining room table. We're not likely to get arrested. Though there are some who have long lived here, even having lived nowhere else, who are getting arrested. Did you hear the story of the pastor in Racine that was picked up last week by ICE? She'd been in this country a long time, if not in her entire life. She was a DACA immigrant. Most of us, though, are not likely to get arrested for who we are. Yet in these days, we are being more careful about what we say and how we say it. Tempers flare more quickly. It may have nothing to do with politics or our various opinions. Yet strangers, friends, and family are more on the edge. We seem to be more afraid of each other, less trusting. In the early days of the Christian faith, people were also on edge. They feared for their lives. They did not know who to trust. They did not know what they could safely say. Ananias did not trust Saul. Ananias was a disciple who heard the voice of God. He had a vision. God told him to go where he did not want to go. God told him to speak to one he did not want to speak to. Where would you rather not go? To whom would you rather not speak? It's hard to let go of our fears and break down barriers. And sometimes we've already tried. Sometimes we've already tried to make up. Sometimes we've already tried to get back in relationship, and just hasn't worked. So there are times to let go and to go another direction. God gives us permission to do that. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, if you're not welcomed, wipe the dust off your feet. Still, we are to obey the word of God and to remember the teachings of Jesus. Jesus also taught us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. It may be that our first steps in mending relationships, working toward harmony, is prayer and an awareness that we are all of us are children of God. As we pray for each other and the brokenness of our world, we might find that peace that Jesus promised. We might even find the courage to live out our faith. We may even find a way to let all that we do be done in love. It's noteworthy to observe that when Ananias went to Saul, he called him Brother Saul. Ananias then announced he had been sent by God. Now, we might be a little bit hesitant to say to anyone, or to be so sure of what God calls us to do. We may not be ready to say, hey, God sent me to you. But Ananias does. And I want to remind us that we in the United Church of Christ speak of the still speaking God, who continues to speak to us and to tell us and to proclaim to us who we are and what we are to be about. The Holy Spirit Jesus sent is our companion and guide, the one who tempts us to do what is right. And I love that. One of the confirmands put that in her statement of faith, that the Holy Spirit tempts us to do what is right. Can we be brave enough, certain enough, that God has sent us? Yes, to be that brave and certain, prayer connecting us with God is indeed a must. Jesus showed us that. Remember how often scriptures said that Jesus went to a lonely place? To what? Pray. Remember before he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed. Remember in the Gospel of John, just a few chapters after what we read today, as Jesus was walking toward the place where he would be arrested, he prayed for his disciples. When God calls us to go where we would rather not go, it is important to remember that we are to pray and Jesus' last words in the Gospel of Matthew, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We do not go alone. God gives us what we need, the Holy Spirit, a friend or a brother or a sister, as God gave Moses Aaron. Remember? Aaron went with Moses to talk to Pharaoh. God will send with us what we need to go and do what God calls us to do. And God increases our faith and helps us to find the ways of love. It was truly amazing what Ananias' visit accomplished. Saul, who had been blind, now could see, but it was not only his eyes that were opened, it was his heart that was opened. He was transformed, he was baptized, becoming a disciple of Jesus. The Jews, and likely the Christians either, were not sure of quite what to make of Saul. And yet, we still read his letters in the church. We still learn from his teachings. And we are amazed at his faith, a faith that was often tested, as both the Romans and the Jewish leaders arrested him, imprisoned him, and even stoned him. What a difference. What difference could our courageous faith make in this world? We won't know for sure until we trust God enough to be strong and firm in our faith. God may send us to places where small steps of kindness will begin to transform our world. God may make it possible to reach out in ways we do not expect. So the events in Neillsville affecting our community recently have made me more aware of the needs of our police department. And so, in addition to speaking to the chief of police, and I got to know him through our issues here at UCC, I also realized that he needed some support. So I chose to speak to our interim chief police, police chief, on two different occasions. And I let his office know that I was looking for him and that I wanted to meet with him. But he's been, my friend, so busy. And I believe that completely. He has been overwhelmed, working hours and hours and hours. And so he had no time to return my calls. And like I said, I believe that. He really didn't. And yet our paths have crossed. So I'm going for a walk. I stop at the police department on my way to the post office, and he's not there. And I walk then down the little street later on after the post office and look up the alley, and there he's coming up the alley, down the alley, and I went right on up the alley. We had an opportunity to talk. Unexpected. And then this week I wanted to encourage him. He had finally stopped to get a sandwich at a store where I was also in line. Quite unexpectedly, we were at the same place at the same time. My hope is this week's conversation brought him some encouragement and some peace. My friends, I've been a police chaplain over the years. I know how hard that work is because I've ridden along with the cops. And while I don't always agree with what has happened with our police officers and what has taken place, I know the amount. I have heard enough to know that they are under great stress. And right now in this community, our cops need our support. And so whatever we can do, Jerry, you let us know so that we can support our police officers, whoever they are, because they need our prayers. They need our support. This is beyond their pay grade, what they are facing in this time. And if we can help them in any ways, and I'm paying attention to that, please join me. When we obey God's word to us, Jesus does promise us peace. Peace the world cannot give. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. God in Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is with us. So be alert to what's going on in the world and what the Spirit is doing among us. Stand firm in faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let all we do be done in love. Amen. Be thou my vision. And as Jesus taught us, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The radio broadcast portion of the worship service from the United Church of Christ in Neillsville is given by Dolores Johnson in honor of all mothers.